Welcome to Sports Hour. You're listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
It is Thursday, final edition of Sports Hour of the week. Brandon and I are back. Well, actually, Brandon's not going to be here for too long today. He's got some business to take care of. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd here with you on this Thursday, back from the New York State Broadcasting Association Award ceremony yesterday. Brandon, how are we feeling on this Thursday?
Feeling great. The gonia might be on fire.
Yes.
Whenever I leave for 5 minutes, yes. It seems like small flames do erode.
Yep. We talked about this yesterday at the ceremony. You weren't there, and it seemed like everything was going wrong. But joining us today for the entire time is our good friend, once again, Joey Palatsky. How are you?
I'm excited to be back on officially award-winning Sports Hour. The award's in the building, and congratulations to you fellows.
Yes, the award is... I brought the award in to the studio today. I am currently holding it. Yes, yesterday we were not here. Jared and Liam did a great job filling in for us. They had a great show yesterday. So we want to thank Jared and Liam for that. But yes, Ladd and I are back today from the New York State Broadcasting Association Awards. And Ladd, you know, first off, before we get to the funny side of things and who was there and the process of getting there and all that, just what an honor it was to be there with a bunch of great people from the state of New York to be on, you know, to be on the University of Syracuse campus to receive the award was absolutely fantastic. We met a lot of cool people. A lot of cool people did a lot of cool things. And it was a great honor to be recognized in front of all those fantastic people.
It was. And I loved the regional feel to it because you had all the heavy hitters in Central New York there and all the biggest stations. And it's pretty cool how they give it a regional feel and how they tour the state of New York to each region. They got like 7 of these luncheons. But yeah, it was a great experience. And the acceptance speeches, it was like being at the Grammys. There were some really good ones.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in a second. But again, we want to thank the New York State Broadcasting Association and Jen Robilato and Abby Conley as well for letting us do the show again this year. It's just such a great honor. It was a super exciting day. Really long. I was tired when I got back. I remember I got back and I just kind of laid down for a little bit.
Well, you saw me.
You were in the chair, like, not wanting, like, it was just a long, emotional day. But again, we want to, you know, thank the New York State Broadcasting Association for giving us the award. And, you know, Ladd, getting there, we had to drive. We had to pick up our boy, Zach.
Yes.
We picked up Zach Case, who, congratulations to him as well. He won Outstanding Social Media Personality, so congratulations to him. His award is still not in the office. It's still at Joey's house, actually.
I got to see it, actually.
Did you see the award?
I haven't seen it in person yet. I'm hoping we keep it on the mantle for a couple days, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, it does have to come here eventually, so Zach.
Eventually.
Zach, we're keeping our eyes on you. But getting there, you know, Syracuse had their classes and they had just gotten out, and there's kids. They did not want you to enter that parking garage.
No, it was
absolutely.
It was a downpour, and it was just nobody. I was thinking I need to stick my hand out the window here to say I'm coming in, and
nobody let you cross. That was the crazy part about it.
It was the crazy part. Some people got it, and then people just head down, just kept walking. Case just kept saying, you got to gap them. You got to gap them. If I kept gapping them, someone was going off the hood. So eventually we got through. After about 4 minutes, we got to the parking garage.
Yeah, tiny, tiny parking garage. I don't know how you fit through, but you did it. You did a great job driving us yesterday. And then we get there. The food was great. The chicken was, oh,
superb.
My God.
Oh my goodness.
Holy crap. That thing was awesome.
Pasta was good. I thought.
Yeah, I like the pasta too.
I'm
the
not
broccoli
big
was great.
Into that seasoning, so like.
You mean the sauce?
The sauce.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Did you guys have to pay for this luncheon, or
no?
It
was all free. They validated our parking too.
It's all just courtesy of being great.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's all just courtesy of being great. Yeah, I like that, Joey. But yeah, the food was great. We got to talk to some people from CNY Central, which they run that They run the Central New York area. Like, literally, they had a reserve. There was no reserve seating except for one table, and it was all CNY people. Like, that was really funny.
And Julie Boeheim.
Yeah. So this is what I'm getting to. This is the greatest part of the entire day. So CNY, they won an award for, like, a piece they did on, some charity event that they did with the Jim and Julie Boeheim Foundation. So the news director and four women get up to accept the award, and the news director starts speaking, right? And he gives a speech thanking everyone. And then he goes, "Now I'd like to introduce Julie Boeheim." And Lad and I looked at each other and went, "Holy mother of God. Why is Julie Boeheim at this event?" You know who Julie Boeheim is, right?
That's Jim Boeheim's wife.
Yes, it's Jim Boeheim's wife.
Then my head's on a swivel. I'm like, is Coach Boeheim in one of the corners here?
Is Buddy going to walk out at some point? Like, literally, that was absolutely surreal.
That foundation owns Central New York.
No. It's not even the foundation. Jim Boeheim runs that town. Yes. Like, he is the unofficial. Nothing happens in that town without it going through Jim Boeheim first. I'm convinced.
Yeah.
He was thanked in four speeches yesterday.
Yes.
Think about that.
For what? Is he?
Exactly.
Like, for what? They're just thinking for existing?
He did a commercial in Utica and it raised $1 million in a day. Yeah. He did some campaign with CNY Central and raised $1 billion in a day. It was just one of those.
He's like the mayor.
No, yes, he is.
He is.
He runs this town. So, and then finally, the last point I want to get to. You know, we're driving there and I'm asking Zach and Ladd, I'm like, you know, you guys think we're going to have to make a speech like when we accept these awards? And they're like, no, they don't want to hear from you. You know, they're not going to want to hear you say your crappy story and how you won this award and how hard you worked. I was like, yeah, you're probably right. After three or four words, it became very clear to everybody that we were going to have to make a speech.
I'm as white as a ghost.
And I looked at Ladd. I'm like, all right, wait, somebody has to say something. Do you want to say something? He goes, no, absolutely not.
So they give up a fair share of awards, I'm guessing, right?
Oh, a lot.
So you guys just 40. Sat through a dumb amount of speeches yesterday?
I had to get up and pee, and I almost missed accepting the award because I got locked out of the room.
CNY Central is laughing at me because they're like, oh, you got to give the speech, big guy.
Yeah. At least you guys didn't go first. If you guys went first and then everyone else gives a speech, then that's a tough one.
We get halfway through
the
ceremony, and all I could think of was, oh, my God, I have to pee so bad. Like, it was like being in a movie theater.
So did you have a list that you knew when you were coming up or no?
Well, I knew that it was going to be last, and I thought we were in the middle of like the small market TV part of the ceremony. It turns out we were at the end. We were at the end of the small market TV ceremony.
Yeah, as soon as he leaves, it's like 2 minutes later. It's like, oh, now the College Radio Awards, and everybody at the table just looked at each other like, oh.
Hope he gets back.
No, yeah. I got back.
So did you end up having anything? Did you quickly write anything down before you got up
there? I didn't write it down. No. I kind of thought about what I was going to say because some people were giving pretty long, like Julie Boeheim gave. Like the longest of the decade. Not the longest. She gave like a 3 minute speech, 3-4 minutes, and like the really powerful speeches were that long.
Well, Amy, from Ted and Amy in the morning,
Ted and Amy from Ted and Amy in the morning were there, and Amy gave a long speech.
Yeah. My favorite was that country, 104.5.
Yep.
I forget her name, Polly.
Yeah.
And she was wild up
on
the
stage.
You
guys should have asserted dominance, went with a long speech. You guys definitely went in and out, didn't you?
So I cut. No, Ladd didn't even speak. So I'm trying to think. I'm
like, sitting there with his arms crossed.
Yeah, he stood there 5 feet. He didn't like even stand close to me. Like the people that like didn't speak, like stood like right next to the person, like showing them. Ladd stood 5 feet away from me, like he was socially distant.
Ladd was probably looking like he was presenting you the award.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what he looked like. So I didn't know if I wanted to tell the whole story or if I just wanted to thank a couple people and get off the stage. So I did like a happy medium. My speech, because Zach took a video of it, was 40 seconds.
It's a good spot to be.
I thought that was the perfect spot to be.
Better than Case. Case was like rock on at the end.
Yeah, Case, like he even said, he's like, I felt out of my element there.
He just kept going?
No, it was really short. He got up there like, thank you, WNYO. Thank you guys for being here and have a great day, and like walked off the stage.
He ended with some cliche, though, like, rock on, everyone.
I don't know. I don't think he said rock on, everyone.
I forget what it was.
I don't think he said.
If he said rock on, I'm going to go home, take the award, and give it back to you guys.
But it was just a great day. I went and told my dad. My dad's not a huge sports guy. But I was talking to my mom and dad yesterday, and I told them the Julie Boeheim story that I just said. And my mom goes, oh, my God. And my dad is silent. I go, Dad, isn't that crazy? He goes, who's Julie Boeheim? I'm like, Jim Boeheim's wife. who's Jim Boeheim?
If he said, who's Jim Boeheim?
That's what
Syracuse?
I said. I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean, who is Jim Boeheim? He's like the most legend. He's probably one of the most legendary coaches coaches of all time, but probably like he's like up there. He's like top five.
He's at least the most legendary basketball coach in the north part of the country.
Oh, yeah.
He's number one.
Yeah, he's number one.
And there's a short list right now. You know, Coach K.
It's like him, Jay Wright.
Yes, and then
right.
Right now, you know, Coach K and Coach Calipari, and that's about it.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly right. But just an amazing day. You know, really happy that we were able to represent the organization that lets us do this, you know, 4 days a week, and we're excited to, you know, be here for the rest of the year. All right, that's actually going to do it. We took up all our time with that segment. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. Brandon Ladd is off to the Goni. Do you have
gotta
any final? Yeah, do you have any final parting words?
Just got to run. I'll see you boys at 10 tonight.
All right, Joey. Joey and I will be here for the remainder of the show today. We got Mets, Yankees, the Giants. They're on Thursday Night Football tonight playing the Washington football team. So we'll get to all that and more coming your way on Sports Hour, the award-winning WNYO Sports Hour right here on 88.9 The Laker Radio Network. She take my money. Well, I'm in need. Yes, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over town. That digs on me. She give me money. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger. Well, I'm in need. But she ain't messing with no broke. And welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Aaron Valentino, Joey Palatsky here with you on this Thursday, final edition of Sports Hour this week. Yesterday, Ladd and I had an off day to attend the New York State Broadcasting Association Awards. Lane and Jared filled in with us. And Ladd, the Gonian, Joey, it always seems to, whenever he steps out, their fires seem to be caused. So Brandon Ladd is dealing with the Oswegonian newspaper at the moment. Pick up your edition of the Oswegonian tomorrow. It's the first edition of the year. Make sure you read Ladd's column. Make sure you read the photo briefing on Brandon, Zach, and I on our awards. Make sure you pick up your copy of the Oswegonian. It's free, so you don't got to pay a subscription or nothing like that. So make sure you pick up your copy. Joey, will you be picking up a copy of the Oswegonian?
Oh, 100%. Brandon Ladd's one of the hardest working men in America. You got to support him.
Very, very excited to read Ladd's first column of the year. It's going to be, everyone is excited about that. It's going to be a good one for sure. Should be a lot of fun. All right, let's get into the New York Yankees, Joey. And they take the top spot last night in the AL wildcard, beating the Orioles by a final score of 4-3. The Yankees trying to get some momentum back in this wild card race after going on a little bit of a skid. No shot at division, but you look at the wild card right now, it's the Yankees atop at 82-64 with Toronto with the same record, 82-64. Boston technically not any games back. They have more wins but one more loss, so due to winning percentage, they are out of the playoffs, 83-65. It seems like Oakland and Seattle, 3.5 and 4 games back respectively. It doesn't seem like they're getting there. With Joey, that means it's a race of the AL East.
I've been saying I'm more worried about the Blue Jays. I think it's still going to be Yankees Blue Jays in that wild card game. Robbie Ray yesterday for the Jays went 7 innings, 13 strikeouts, making his case for the Cy Young candidate. But yesterday, the Yankees really showed some heart in Baltimore against the Orioles. The Yankees really all year long have been playing bad teams bad, and they've been playing up to good teams. It's been the story of the year all year long. Yesterday, we were heading into the ninth inning down 3-2 after the Orioles put up a two spot in the eighth. I thought the team was dead in the water. Yankees put up two in the top of the ninth on a bloop single by Gardner. Showed some heart. Chapman threw his third straight game for the first time since 2018 yesterday in the rain. Felt like he was just going to blow it up. Got out of there unscathed with no trouble.
Yep.
Somehow, some way, and two strikeouts, and Chapman just did his job, and somehow, some way, the Yankees ended up beating the Baltimore Orioles in the ninth yesterday.
Yeah, Yankees end up getting two runs in the ninth to be able to get the win. They now are they win by a final score of 4-3. Orioles 46-99 on the year. Their season is going way downhill. It just seems like they can never get any momentum going. But the Yankees, you know, you're going into a stretch of games. You haven't been playing well lately. The fans are ready to, oh my God, Yankees Twitter the last few weeks, it's just been all over the place. The fans are ready to up and burn the team down, even though they're 20 games over 500. But this was a must-needed win last night, and they got it. And with the way they played the last couple weeks, you know, every win is a big one.
There were more Yankees fans last night in Baltimore than there were Baltimore fans. Every time the Yankees did something well, you hear the crowd erupt. And every time Baltimore does something well, you don't even hear a peep in Camden Yards. And I think the Yankees are looking real strong, and it's what we got to do here in this stretch of the season. You got to, going into this week, sweep the Orioles was definitely on the mind, and it's a possibility tonight. Weird 5:05 first pitch tonight. Jordan Montgomery is going to be on the mound, but Yanks are looking for the sweep of Baltimore, and it's a lot better of a sign than it should be, but it's definitely a good sign for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, always a good sign for the New York Yankees when you're getting wins. Now, Joey, again, it's looking like a race of the East here to get into the playoffs. There is two spots for three teams, that is the Blue Jays, Yankees, and Red Sox. What is your biggest fear going into this final stretch of games for New York Yankees?
Oh, for the Yankees, I mean, heading into October, first off, if we get there, I'm most scared of the Blue Jays, without a doubt. Vlad Guerrero's got a shot at the Triple Crown. He's been hitting the cover off the ball. And Robbie Ray's really dangerous. Ray versus Cole in the wild card game with Cy Young intentions on the mound would be huge. But, I mean, coming up, we're going to, in the last couple weeks of the season, so they go to Cleveland and Texas, should probably win five of those six. Red Sox, Blue Jays, Rays to close the season.
Yeah.
So I think if we can take all three of those series, don't have to sweep by any means, but if we can take 2/3 of those games, I think the Yankees are sitting in a pretty good spot.
You got one more in Baltimore tonight, then you go to Cleveland for three games, then you go to Texas. Then Texas comes to you for three games. But then the final three series of the year, you go Red Sox, Blue Jays, Rays, all division series to finish out the year. That's going to be a wild stretch. And, you know, the good and bad thing about this is that the Yankees, they control their own destiny at this point. So it really is anybody's game. It's not like one team is, you know, three games back and it's going to take a little bit more to get them there. All these teams are currently tied for the wild card, and all three of these teams are going to control their own destiny down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really good indicator going into the playoffs. If the Yankees lose more than they win against the Red Sox, Blue Jays, and the Rays, then, hey, they don't deserve to be in that wild card game. I think if we end up losing more than we win to, especially to the Red Sox or the Blue Jays, and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays end up being the two teams in the wild card game, you say we beat ourselves, the team just underperformed, and you move on to next year. You got no one to blame but yourselves. And I'd definitely rather be in a situation where you control your own destiny.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no one to be mad at but yourself.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong about that. There's nobody to be mad at but yourself if you don't make the playoffs. The schedule's there. MLB gave you the schedule to give you the opportunity to make the playoffs. And if you don't, you know, if you don't take advantage of that opportunity, that's honestly on you. But we'll see if the Yankees can get it done tonight against Baltimore. It is going to be Jordan Montgomery versus Ellis tonight. Or is that how you say his name? Ellis?
Yeah.
Jordan Montgomery versus Ellis tonight. Should be a good one. Yankees looking to get the sweep, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, looking to get the sweep on Baltimore. And that would just be so huge. Coming off a series against the Mets where they didn't win. Their last series against Baltimore really didn't go that well. So this would be a big confidence booster to them to be able to sweep the Orioles heading into Cleveland.
I'm very surprised how well this team's turned it around, especially if they go and get the win tonight. After how the last couple games went against, or after the whole series really went against the Mets, once Lindor puts three homers on your head, for the Yankees, usually when it's one bad or one heartbreaking game like that, it goes downhill. But to do that, and then you go get a 10 inning walk off against Minnesota in that weird little makeup game on Monday, go sweep the Orioles, roll some momentum into a couple weird little series here against some AL Central teams, and then you're into the home stretch against the other teams fighting for that wild card spot.
Yeah, I was saying a lot on Monday. I was like, you know, thank God the Yankees played the Twins on Monday, because anytime this team is struggling, you know, the team that they beat up on the most, more than the Orioles, more than the Blue Jays, more than any other team, it's the Minnesota Twins. I mean, the series is just, like, it's not even close. It's like Patriots-Jets. Like, it's that bad, which is so weird considering Minnesota plays in the AL Central. But the Yankees always beat up on the Twins, and that was a huge confidence booster for them.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really just, for whatever reason, every time the Twins are on the schedule, you say, okay, we should have this game in the bag. But, yeah, it's definitely a good point. And once Lindor goes off on Sunday Night Baseball, I think it's very different if the Yankees just roll into Baltimore coming off that, whether it be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or use Monday as an off day and roll Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But either way, having that game against Minnesota, a team that we should beat up on, and then we actually usually do beat up on, as opposed to the Baltimore Orioles, who we should beat up but usually have some trouble with, that game against Minnesota is definitely a momentum shifter.
Yeah, the Yankees now have won three straight games I'm way rolled up on the schedule. The Yankees have now won 3 straight games after losing that series to the Mets this past weekend, and we'll go into this one facing Cleveland with the wrapping up the Orioles series tonight. So it should be a good one. Make sure you are tuned in. All right, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. Folks, it pains me to say it. It really does. But the New York Mets season is officially ended last night, and what better way to have it finish out than, of course, against the St. Louis Cardinals, who are the central team that have beat up on the Mets for the past 20 years, it seems like. We'll talk about all that. Plus, we got to get to the Giants. They're taking on the football team tonight. I love saying that they're still called the football team. They're taking on the Washington football team tonight on Thursday Night Football, so should be a good one. Giants get the first short week of the year. We'll see how Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley react to that one. Plus, picks of the week. Lad's not here once again, but we do have his picks locked and loaded, and I'm sure Joey's excited to make some picks as well. So don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Welcome back to Sports Hour right here, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. A little bit of a throwback for you on this Thursday, a little bit of Bowling for Soup for you today. Who doesn't love this? Actually, legitimately, might be my favorite song of all time.
Number one.
No, I'm serious, because like I will never say that. Like, if somebody asks you, like, what's your favorite song, I'll say, like, a current song, like, right now. But, like, I love this song. I, like, grew up listening to this song all the time. It's so great. Everybody loves it. It's so good.
You really don't hear it too often.
I know. You should hear it more. It's so great.
Maybe Sports Hour's going to have to bring it back, keep bringing it
through
the commercial breaks.
I didn't even know we had 1985 in the system, so it's obviously been there for a while. It's categorized as a punk song, which is interesting to me.
What would you call it if it's not punk?
I don't know. Maybe, I guess it's not rock.
I understand why you like I'm blank. My ex's best friend, Machine Gun Kelly.
It's kind of like that.
It's the same kind of vibe. Yeah.
What was I gonna say? Listen. This song always comes on, but the song that I don't like, that everybody loves for no reason, is Mr. Brightside.
I'm with you. I'm with you. It's very overhyped.
Oh my god, it's so overrated. Like, it's a fine song. It's perfectly fine. But when it comes on, everybody just loses their mind.
It's not good enough for the amount of play it gets or the amount of hype it gets.
Yes.
I'm with you 100%, without a doubt.
I'm so glad you're saying that, because, well, you are the hot take connoisseur when it comes to things like that. So I should have known that you were going to agree.
I would say it's more of correct takes than hot takes. Yeah, but right. Yeah, I mean, whatever works.
But yes, 1985, always good. A little bit of throwback for you on this Thursday. Let's get to New York Mets. Here's the deal, folks. The season, it ended last night, and you know, there's no better way, no more fitting of a way for a New York Mets season to end than to end it facing the St. Louis Cardinals, who have been beating them since 2006 when Mr. Adam Wainwright, who is still dominating the Mets, has dominated the Mets his entire career, dropping that curveball to Carlos Beltran. Just more of a fitting way. Mets don't play tonight. They're taking on Philly tonight at Citi Field. And we talked about, you know, with the Yankees last segment, about how they control their own destiny down the stretch. The Mets in the wild card race controlled their own destiny. They played the Cardinals, the Phillies. They end up facing Miami. They end up going against Miami. They play Boston. And then they play the Braves to end the season. There's a series in there that I'm completely forgetting about. But, you know, the Mets really controlled their own destiny. Milwaukee's the series I was forgetting about. The Mets really controlled their own destiny, Joey, and they just they could. It started with this game against the Cardinals, and they did with this series against the Cardinals, and they did not take advantage whatsoever.
I mean, in their past 5 games, they got one win. Getting swept by the Cardinals, they had plenty of momentum off that Yankee series to roll with it.
Oh my god!
They did nothing with it. Nothing at all.
The you know, how could you not build off of that Lindor game? Is a coming out game for Francisco Lindor. You beat, you know, your crosstown rivals. It's only the 4th time in the history of the Subway Series that you've won it. You know, how do you not build off that. Like, it's 9-11. You're playing the Yankees. You know, Francisco Lindor has a coming out game on Sunday Night Baseball. You have all the momentum in the world. You're three games back. You control your own destiny, and you completely blow it, completely throw it all away in a matter of three games.
Well, in all honesty, the reason they didn't roll with it is because the guy they saw the next night, I mean, one night you see Clark Schmidt, who's a decent prospect for the Yankees, but it was his MLB debut. And then the next night you roll in, you go see Adam Wainwright. Like you said, he's been haunting the Mets for years, probably for your entire life.
My entire life, this man has tortured the Mets.
I saw the other day, he's the first Cardinals pitcher to have 16 or more wins, age 39 or older, first time since like 1928.
Yeah, he's been pitching well this year.
He's got the 10th best ERA in baseball right now. He's sitting at a 2.88 right now. Yeah. You didn't just end up facing some scrub to roll with that momentum. You ended up facing Adam Wainwright, who's over here at 39 years old, still making guys look like fools at the plate.
It's just
getting shut out.
It's just completely not. It's not right. The Mets, after the 11-4 loss last night, they're now five games back of the wild card, 6.5 back of the division. The division I thought was long gone. It was really the wild card coming out of the Yankee series that, you know, really not just me, but everybody thought that they had a legitimate shot to come up, especially, again, with controlling their own destiny for the most part. And they just, you know, at one point you have to say to yourself, how much controversy, how many things need to happen before this team dies? And they finally died last night. I mean, think about everything that happened this year. They had to hire and fire Jared Porter. Zach Scott currently has a DWI. Javi Baez booed the fans and like publicly said that he was doing it. Jacob DeGrom and Francisco Lindor didn't, you know, Jacob DeGrom hasn't pitched since July. That's one. That's the best player, you know, arguably on earth.
Syndergaard, too.
But Syndergaard, you know, you kind of knew what you were getting into going into the season, right, coming back from Tommy John. But, you know, how much controversy and overcoming things like that can you possibly take before you die? And, you know, it was very clear that they just, you know, they just got buried by all that.
I feel like it's so perfectly Mets because
it is, isn't it? And this is supposed to be a different era, and yet it's one of the wildest seasons I've ever seen as a Mets fan.
There's plenty of teams in baseball when things like Lindor booing the fans, and then things like Jacob DeGrom being hurt and getting Baez at the deadline. There's plenty of crazy things that happen over the course of the season that with some teams those things happen, and you say this is going to be perfect on the championship CD. When that happens to the New York Mets, you just think this is going to be the perfect things that starts the downfall, and it's brutal for the Mets. And I mean, on the other hand, it's big for the St. Louis Cardinals trying to break up the whole three NL West teams in the playoffs.
And think about how this year started, right? New ownership, Fred and Jeff Wilpon are out of the organization. They're bringing back Sandy Alderson. They make the biggest trade since Mike Piazza came to the team. And not only did they make that trade, they sign him to the longest contract in history by double. Jacob DeGrom, it was literally on his way to throwing the greatest season of all time. And it wasn't even going to be close. He was going to wipe the floor with Pedro Martinez. This is the NL leaders in war, F war this season. Corbin Burns at 7.1. Zach Wheeler at 6.5, Max Scherzer at 5.2. Number four, he has not pitched since July, at 4.9, is Jacob freaking DeGrom.
Still sitting at four.
Fourth in F4.
That's a guy that hasn't played half the season.
He has not played half of the season. Think about that. The dude was on a roll. Nothing we've ever seen. And if we have seen it before, we haven't seen it since 1968 when Bob Gibson did it. I mean, just unbelievable, unfathomable things Jacob DeGrom was doing on a baseball season. And yet the Mets are going to end up under 500, five games out of the playoffs to end the year. It's unbelievable.
Injuries just suck. It happens.
Well, it's not even injuries. They got everybody healthy. Baez and Lindor, the last couple months have been great for them. And, you know, this comes to my next point. Jeff McNeil and Dominic Smith, two guys who had great years last year. Jeff McNeil had a great 2019 season. This is a guy with a career OPS plus of 125. Awful. So bad. Like, he looks like he's not even on planet Earth. He's not in the Milky Way galaxy. He looks like he's in another solar system when he comes up to bat. I mean, it's just like he looks so lost up there. It it's like incomprehensible that a guy with a 319 career average and a career OPS plus of 125 has looked this bad at the plate.
Yeah, it's pretty wild because McNeil's been a guy for so long, when the team's struggling, you can kind of point to him and say, this is a guy that doesn't really have ups and downs. He's just consistently very stellar, and he just wasn't there for the Mets this year. I mean, he went 3-for-4 last night, but he's got plenty of 0-for games in the month of September and just didn't produce at all for the Mets this year in that lineup.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. And Dom Smith got MVP votes last year. Think about that. Look at how far he's fallen this season.
You kind of need to take last season with a grain of salt because of how short it was.
But at the same time, like, there was no stretch.
It's signs of progress.
There was no stretch this year where Dom Smith looked anything close to that. Like, if he had a 60-game stretch like that, and then, 120-game stretch where, like, he wasn't that good, where he wasn't, you know, what he was, he would have been like, okay. But he has not looked anything close to what he looked like last year.
243 on the season with 11 home runs, I should say.
Yeah, the power is completely gone.
For a guy that's coming off an MVP vote receiving season, I should say.
In terms of the Mets' most consistent hitter who's been here the entire season, it's Pete Alonso is one, obviously. Number two is Jonathan freaking VR. Are you kidding me? Jonathan VR, he wasn't supposed to play this year.
Just came out of nowhere.
It's just not right. It's so, like, I don't even know how to describe how frustrated I feel, because I really thought we were entering a new era. And you know what? Coming off a 60-game season, guys have been doing the same thing for, you know, 15, 20 years, like getting in that routine of spring training, playing 162 games, off season. Last year was super weird. They only played 60 games. Spring training was halted for 4 months. Maybe that has something to do. I definitely think it's why Lindor has struggled for the majority of the year.
Without a doubt.
But, you know, at the same time, there are other teams in this league that, yeah, maybe they're not doing as well, but they're still figuring out ways to win ball games, and the Mets just haven't done that.
They haven't been winning a whole lot of ball games, but I mean, it seems like when the bats are hitting well, the pitching's not there, and then when the pitching's there, the bats aren't there. But I mean, last night, 13 hits. It was only 4 runs. When guys are on, you got to drive them in. Yeah. And I know you've been big on that, how the Mets just don't drive guys
in.
No,
they don't.
They don't hit with runners in scoring position.
Never.
The Cardinals went off last night. 16 hits and 11 runs.
It's just
where's the Mets pitching staff?
I hate the Cardinals, man. They always they ruin everything. They ruin it all for Mets fans. They've ruined it all for like 14 straight years against the Mets.
Well, last night was pretty much a must-win game. You don't want to get swept by the Cardinals. And I mean, what is it, 5 games out now of the wild card? And
yeah, 6.5 back at the division. The season's over.
Officially calling the season dead here, September 16th.
Yep, September 16th, the season is dead. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time to start some football on this football Thursday night. Tonight, Giants and the Washington football team, also week 2 of fantasy, looking to take another dub. So don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. They didn't do my favorite part of this song, which is at the beginning when he says, "Doesn't this guitar sound good?" And then it starts the song. But shout out to Sky Hosper for getting this new music in. Play a little bit of variety on Sports Hour.
Ty Virtus.
Yes.
He's in the back pocket. I mean, the guy just blew up on TikTok. He started just putting music
TikTok
out there.
TikTok is everything now, man.
It's unbelievable what it does for artists.
I know. It's unbelievable. I still, to this day, don't have TikTok.
Really?
Yes.
For what reason? That's a weird hill to die on.
So yeah. Thank you, Joey. So when I first, like, when it first, like, blew up over quarantine, my sister had it and, like, was constantly, like, sending me TikToks. And, like, some of the TikToks she sent me, my favorite text to send back was, "This could have been a tweet." So many of them. I'm like, this could have been a tweet.
Right, but TikTok.
No reason for a video.
TikTok's more of a thing. Like, if you're kind of just sitting around bored and you've been on Twitter, you've been on Instagram, whatever it is, TikTok does not have an end to it.
But yes, that's the thing. Yes, that's the thing about TikTok. Twitter ends. Snapchat ends. Instagram ends. Facebook ends. TikTok never
You'd
ends.
Be scared of just falling down the hole or what?
Well, so at first I didn't get it because I thought it was stupid. But I thought it was stupid for a while. And then I realized like some of them are kind of funny. But now I'm just not getting it out of principle.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I kind of had the same thing. One of my buddies about this time a couple years ago started sending me TikToks. And I was just like, I'm not downloading this, whatever. And then quarantine comes around. I'm like, okay. And next thing you know, it's just like you got nowhere to be, nothing to do. Like
yeah.
I'm seeing... I mean, it's kind of weird, like, you know, our phones hear us, and it's just, like, it's seeing all these things that I was talking about, like, 20, like, I was preparing for when I did the Oswego men's soccer game this past week in Ithaca, I was literally just doing my prep for it on my computer, went on TikTok 20 minutes later, first thing that comes up, Ithaca Bombers TikTok, had, like, 1,000 likes, is the weirdest
that's
thing.
That's scary.
No, it's absolutely terrifying.
I would be horrified.
I saw that, and I was like, what are we doing?
I would have deleted the app right away.
You kind of just got to be like, you know.
They're watching us at all times. And
you see funny stuff, sports stuff, music stuff. I think it's a nice little place to be.
It is what it is. The New York Giants, they play tonight. First team on the short week this year. Kind of weird. I mean, Thursday Night Football, and I have been talking about this for a while, because nobody wants to do it anymore, they give us the worst games with the worst teams. And I don't think necessarily the Giants are going to be bad this year, but I don't think they're going to be great, especially after that performance against Teddy Two Gloves and company. So this is what they're giving us, the Giants versus the football team. First divisional game of the year for the Giants. And Joey, as a Giants fan, how are you feeling about this one?
Saquon cannot be much worse than he was last week.
Yeah.
Plain and simple, 10 carries for 26 yards. He didn't even lead the team in rushing yards last year.
The
last
line
week
looked bad last it, game.
I
like
saw
abysmal.
They're shifting. I think I saw earlier they're shifting a couple guys around, maybe starting someone new. I mean, it can't get a whole lot worse. On the bright side, Sterling Shepard, who's kind of needs
yeah,
to
step, good.
He needs to step into the wide receiver one role more this year, going for 113 yards in his first game is obviously a good sign. Kenny Golladay getting in the mix. I think, I definitely think the Giants just have it out for how that season ended last year against and that last final game between both the Eagles and the football team. I think the Giants definitely want their revenge on the football team. They definitely have a scary defense with Chase Young's a terrifying individual. But with Ryan Fitzpatrick out, and I think the Giants might just bounce back this week, and Saquon just can't be a whole lot worse than his numbers were last week.
Yeah, I think the funny thing is about the Giants this year is that, you know, this is it for Daniel Jones. Like, you know, it's a similar situation to what the Jets were in last year with Sam Darnold. You don't really know what you have in him yet. This year, Dave Gettleman gave him everything. Gave him the weapons. Tried to upgrade the offensive line, although it looks really bad.
Gave him the weapons. Kenny Golladay?
Kenny Golladay, Sterling Shepard, Saquon Barkley. Are you kidding me? That I would kill for those weapons for Zach Wilson to have. Are you freaking kidding me?
Well, yeah. Our teams are kind of on different pages, but I thought the Giants had to make a bigger splash in the free agent pool.
I would have given up my left pinky for Kenny Golladay.
Toe or finger? It's very different.
Yeah, probably toe.
Okay, that's fingers more. I feel like giving up the left pinky finger, giving up more.
But, well, I would have given up a lot to get Kenny Golladay.
I mean, he's good, but...
He's great is what he is.
I think Daniel Jones wins football games. I think he's the guy to win the division. He's not the guy to win playoff games.
So you think Giants next year should tank for Spencer Rattler?
I don't think Spencer Rattler is a big superstar like a lot of people think he is. I mean,
what do you think they should do then? Because your options are this. You got two options. You keep running Jones out there year after year. Because this is a year you really have to make a decision.
Right.
You keep running Jones out there year after year after year, and if nothing happens, then you made a huge mistake. Or you say, okay, this is not working. It's been 3 years now. It's not working. We got to draft a new guy.
I guess we'll see how the Giants do this year. I mean, I think the Giants win the division this year. I think, like I said, I think Daniel Jones is good enough to do that. The Super Bowl is not happening. Winning playoff games isn't happening. But see what Daniel Jones gives you this year, especially, like you said, the addition of Kenny Golladay is a nice little touch. I wouldn't call it a major touch, but it's a nice little touch. Sterling Shepard, and you hope Saquon stays healthy. Defense was really good last year. They didn't get as much credit as they should have, but the Giants' defense is strong. I mean, I've been saying for a while that the Giants are really just a very good or a great quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. It's the most important position
in sports,
not just on the football field. It's a big hole to fill, but Daniel Jones is serviceable, and he's not as bad as a lot of people think he is.
What here's the other thing about the other big factor going into this game tonight, and that, of course, is Chase Young, who, as my good friend Kevin Bennett described him last night, as a future Hall of Famer the second he stepped on the field.
A future
Now, that's Hall a bold Famer. Statement, but Chase Young does have that potential. He's that freaking good of a football player. And if I were you tonight, Joey, I'd be horrified of Chase Young pass rushing with Daniel Jones against this offensive line tonight.
Without a doubt. I mean, with Saquon going for 26 yards last week, the Giants overall got 60 yards of rushing. And, I mean, especially the Giants are changing the offensive line around tonight, shifting some guys around. I think I saw that they might be starting a new guy tonight. And when you're having offensive line troubles, Chase Young is not the guy you want to see on the other side of the line.
Absolutely not. This football team defense is going to absolutely, you know, they're gonna create pressure around Daniel Jones, because what is Daniel Jones' biggest issue as a quarterback? He cannot hold on to the football. So if you can get pressure on him and you can get him to scramble, you can knock that ball out pretty easily. And if that happens, it's not going to be fun.
I think it's going to be a big defensive game tonight. I think
I think so too, because
it's going to be a scrappy, like 17-10, 17-13 kind of game.
Yeah, it's going to be a defensive game tonight because, guess what? Taylor Heinicke, he's coming back on the field. Now, I will say, he lit up the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers in their playoff game last year. Absolutely lit them up. Unfortunately for him, there's a guy named Tom Brady who exists and plays football for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so he was not able to get the win. But Ryan Fitzpatrick out 6 to 8 weeks with a hip injury. That could end his career, honestly, at this point. He's 38, 39 years old, something like that. No, he might be a little bit younger than that. But, you know, that's the type of injury that you don't, you know, hip with older players is always really scary. So they do have Taylor Heinicke tonight. I mean, we'll see. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to light people up like he was with the Bucs. But then again, you know, I mean, this Giants defense is really good, though.
Yeah, I don't know how much preseason action Heinicke saw, but I mean, definitely not playing last week, and just game speed's a whole different thing.
Short week.
Yeah, short week, quick turnaround, and there's a lot. I mean, as much as there is happening for the Giants with that offensive line, the same thing's happening at quarterback on the other side for Washington. A lot of turnover right now, and yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you actually hit at 38 years old.
Yeah, 38, yeah.
So won't get hip surgery, opting for rehab 8 weeks, and
it's scary.
We might be seeing the end of Fitzmagic. Yeah. We've been saying that for a while, but who knows?
I know. How has he hung around for this long?
I think he's been with 10 teams, I think.
Yeah, he's been with a lot.
It's a good amount, but
yeah,
it's scary whenever you see an older guy with a hip injury. I mean, we're talking older, like he's 85 years old with a hip injury. But
you know, 38 as a football player is scary.
And very, especially very scary. With Heinicke behind him and the young core the Washington football team has. I mean, Fitzpatrick's not, you know, he's not going to be the guy of the future. They might just invest into Heinicke. And especially, like you said, with how promising he was in the playoffs.
Yeah, they need to draft a quarterback, I think. I don't know. I'm not a big Fitzpatrick guy. Everybody was so excited when they signed him. I was like, why? I was like, why don't you just go get a quarterback? Like, just go do it. You know?
So you don't think Taylor Heinicke's the guy for Washington?
I don't think so. I mean, we'll see how he performs tonight. Saquon, I think the key to this game for the Giants is also Saquon and Daniel Jones. Just need to be better. But with that being said, the offensive line needs to be better in order for them to do that. And Chase Young isn't going to make it easy.
Yeah, no.
I think Chase Young's the biggest factor going into this game tonight.
Yeah, Chase. Well, all football games are won in the trenches. It's what they say.
That is what they say.
If you can neutralize the run game and, I mean, if you can keep Saquon Barkley under 30 yards like the Denver Broncos did last week, you're sitting in a really good spot. And I think the Giants are definitely in dangerous territory tonight. It's very dangerous for both teams on the turnaround, and now Washington with a new quarterback. But Heinicke's probably more comfortable than this Giants offensive line is right now. And as a Giants fan, I think it's going to be a decently close game tonight, but I think it's definitely going to be a whole lot of defense tonight.
When we come back, it is time for Picks of the Week. Lad has given us his picks. Joey and I will make our picks as well. Super exciting stuff. Then we'll wrap up the show. No Hot Corner today, so you're just getting us. I don't think there's going to be a Lad and Abby experience today as well, so it's just us on your Thursday lineup. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Black leather glove, no sequins. Buckles on the jacket, it's elite. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, like Radio Network. A little Drake for you. Joey's song choice today.
The greatest artist of all time.
Really?
Yes, sir.
It's not Michael Jackson?
Greatest artist, most versatile.
It's not the Beatles?
No, sir. Drake's blowing the Beatles out of the water any day of the week. Michael Jackson, I've been saying for a long time, my grandkids are going to be listening to Drake. My grandkids won't be listening to Michael Jackson.
I don't know, dude. Michael Jackson is just so... like, so iconic, right?
How often do you listen to Michael Jackson? You listen to Thriller on Halloween.
You shouldn't have asked me that because I'm actually a pretty big Michael Jackson fan.
You keep him in rotation?
Yeah. PYT is great. Love PYT. When I was younger, I was really into Michael Jackson.
He's really good. Of course, really good. I mean, that goes without saying.
Thriller's still the greatest selling album of all time.
As I like to say, Drake has Don't Matter to Me with Michael Jackson. I like to say it's the greatest artist of all time with Michael Jackson on a song.
Yes. Yeah, well, there you go. I'll say this. This girl, Olivia, she's blowing people out of the water, too. So watch out.
We're talking about Olivia Rodrigo in the same conversation with Drake and Michael Jackson?
She wrote the most streamed song of all time. By pure numbers. The greatest song in the streaming era. Think about that.
I think it was
her first song.
I don't know if there's stats to back this up or not. I haven't done too much research into it, but I think a lot of it is because now with Spotify and Apple Music and stuff like that's more accessible to younger kids. The streaming numbers for pop songs like that are going up because a lot of younger kids are listening to that.
It's not the greatest song of all time, but in the streaming era, based off of pure numbers. It gets people going. Or not good for you. It's driver's license.
Good for you gets people going.
I love Good For You. That's my favorite song that she's written so far.
Never got into it.
You're an idiot. How do you not like Good For You?
It's all right. Like, I think like if you're at a bigger function, it's a lot better than if I'm just driving in the car.
I only refer to her now as my girl Olivia. No, Rodrigo, just Olivia. We're on a first-name basis with each other. All right, it is now time for Picks of the Week. If you don't know, each week, Lad and I are going to be picking some football games on these Thursdays since we don't do the show on Fridays this semester. Lad is currently leading 5-4, so I did lose last week, unfortunately, but looking to make a comeback this week. Lad has given me his picks. He is not here. I will tell them to you. But, Joey, we're going to go to you first. And the first game up, we already talked about it, this Thursday night football game between the Giants and the Washington football team tonight. Who do you got?
If I have to speak as a football analyst, give me the football team. I would like to say the Giants make it a game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair. If you're gambling it, I would just take the under rather than pick a dog in the match, but I think the football team gets out of there with the win.
Yes, I'm also going with the football team. I just think Chase Young is going to destroy the Giants tonight. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I think Chase Young's going to destroy them. I think Taylor Heinicke will do okay. I don't know. If Taylor Heinicke plays bad, that kind of changes everything. But I just think the Giants' line wasn't that good. And if Daniel Jones and Saquon perform like they did last Sunday, it's not going to be a good time for anybody. Ladd is also going with the football team as well. So all picking the same one there. Next game we got up here, Bills, Dolphins. Bills looking for their first win of the year, a must-needed win on the year.
Give me the Bills, without a doubt. People are overreacting to Josh Allen's week last week. He went up against the best defense in football, cut it out. He's still an MVP caliber type of player. The Buffalo Bills are a very, very good team, Super Bowl contender, tough draw out of the gate in week one, and I think the Bills are going to get it done with ease against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think the Bills are pretty pissed off that they lost that game. They should have won that one. It would have been, it should have been an easy win for them, in my opinion. So... Bills, yeah, I think they're gonna get it done. Just Josh Allen can't throw the ball 50 times again. You gotta do something with Singletary. I mean, even if you don't like him, you gotta be able to figure out how you can win the football game with the run. All right, Jets, Patriots, Mac Jones versus Zach Wilson. It's the first time in the history of this rivalry that it's two rookie quarterbacks facing off against each other.
First time in the franchise history ever.
In the Jets and Patriots history of them playing each other, it's the first time that two rookie quarterbacks are starting.
I wonder how many quarterbacks Tom Brady saw with the New York Jets.
A lot.
There was.
I'm telling you.
Head to head, it had to have been.
A lot.
You think more than 10?
Yes.
Well, that was no hesitation,
yes.
Too.
The Jets have been looking for a replacement for Joe Namath since he retired.
Right, since a long time ago. Yes. I think I'm taking the New England Patriots this weekend. I think Mac Jones is going to be the new guy that terrifies the Jets for years.
Yeah, here's the deal. Could the Jets win this game? Yeah, I think on paper, I don't think either of these teams are that great, but Bill Belichick is not losing to the New York Jets.
Won't happen.
I'm going with the Pats. It's just too much. You know, he's got the new quarterback. He's got to prove to everybody that he can still beat up on the Jets, no matter the state of his football team. Zach Wilson's going to be running for his life again like he was last week. They're getting Crowder back this week, which should help out Wilson, but I think it's going to be too much. I'm going with the Patriots. Our fun game of the week, Titans-Seahawks. Ladd is going with the Jets, by the way. I don't know why he's doing that, but he is going with the New York Jets. Titans-Seahawks, who do you got?
I'd go with the Seahawks this week. I think Derrick Henry's going to perform a lot better than he did last week. He had some issues on the goal line last week, but Russ Wilson was looking really good last week. I think the Seattle Seahawks are a better football team, and it's very hard to go against Russ Wilson.
Let Russ cook, ladies and gentlemen. He is the absolute man. Didn't even get it to DK Metcalf that much last week. It was all Tyler Lockett. The Seahawks are going to take this one. Ladd is going with the Tennessee Titans to win this game after coming off a tough loss to the Cardinals. Finally, Sunday Night Football, Ravens-Chiefs. Should be a classic. Ravens always seem to disappoint in this matchup, though. Joey, who do you got?
I'm taking the Ravens in this one.
Wow.
I think Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens feel embarrassed that they just lost to the Oakland Raiders in such a classic game on Monday Night Football. The only reason they lost that game is because Lamar was having trouble with the ball towards the end, had a couple of fumbles, and I think he's going to get that fixed. That's not something that's going to stick around with Lamar Jackson. And how about the Chiefs last week? They showed some problems against the Browns.
Yeah, but that's going
to
be a theme. You're going to see that throughout the rest of Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes' career. Baker's one flaw, I said this on Sunday, for his entire career, and I hate Baker Mayfield. I can't stand the
Love
dude.
Him.
But Baker's career will be defined by always coming close but never being able to defeat Patrick Mahomes.
That's funny.
That is what his career will be defined by.
That's funny you say that, because for the longest time I've been saying that's what Josh Allen's career is going to be defined by.
It's going to be what a lot of quarterbacks' careers are defined by, not being able to beat Patrick Mahomes, but it will be Baker's.
Well, it also doesn't hurt Patrick Mahomes that he's surrounded by, you know,
a great team.
Top two tight end,
but again,
top five wide receiver, a great defense.
Patrick Mahomes will never be considered the greatest of all time because he lost to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Like, when they faced head-to-head, he lost. And he lost twice, technically, because he lost to him when he was on the Patriots and then lost to him in the Super Bowl. But Patrick Mahomes is the most talented player I've ever seen on a football field in my entire life.
The guy just does so many unbelievable things.
Like Brady's great. He's the greatest ever, and he does everything correctly. But in terms of pure talent, I don't know if we'll ever see anybody like Patrick Mahomes ever again. That's why I'm going with the Chiefs. Never bet against Patrick Mahomes.
So just to clarify, Tom Brady, the greatest. Patrick Mahomes, the best.
Yes. Winning matters in determining the greatest.
Without a doubt.
Winning matters.
Patrick Mahomes
is
going to get his fair share of Super Bowls, without a doubt.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope so. I'm not tired of the Chiefs yet. Everybody's already telling me they're tired. Give me more Mahomes. Give it all to me.
Not getting the win this weekend, though, I'll tell you that.
Well, we'll see about that. We'll see what Lamar Jackson can do on Sunday Night Football. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of Sports Hour. Ladd and I will be back on Monday. Lots of sports this weekend on WNYO Sports, so make sure you tune into full coverage of volleyball plus a field hockey game on Saturday as well. Have a great rest of your day and a great rest of your weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday.